let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, that your name is matchless. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your plan, Father, is second to none. Father, you only know the name of victory. You only know the name of all-knowing, all-wonderful, all-powerful. That's who you are. And so, Father, we exalt your name today. We exalt you for your plan and purpose for this church and for the church of Jesus Christ at large. Father, we're thanking you, Lord, that we're living in a day, Father, where your plan is unfolding. We're living in an hour, Father God, where the power of the Spirit of the Lord is setting up. Father, you're raising up, you're taking down, you're rearranging, you're changing. All this thing is coming together, Lord, as you're rolling up your sleeves, and your plan is even that, Lord, that is being set in motion. And Father, we're thanking you for it in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Well, we're celebrating our 20th year anniversary, and my wife will probably share after in a few minutes, but we saw the plan of God unfold for the Transformation Center, and even before that for Eagle Worldwide, and the story behind that is just a story of the goodness and the plan of the Lord, and how God has done many miracle things throughout the year. But right now, where we're at is we look around at the times that we're living in, because I came to the Transformation Center in 2007, and the world looked much differently then than what it looks right now. Things were grossly different. Things were vastly different, and you kind of have to wonder, God, where are you in the midst of all this? Where are you in the midst of life, the way that it has changed so drastically? Lord, where are you? And even recently, we know that Charlie Kirk, he was a man that was so bold about his faith, and he wanted everybody to know Jesus, and he had a compassion and a heart in order to speak truth, and he had a confrontational anointing upon him, and yet he walked in love, and he would confront the lies of society. He would confront the realm that is attacking the young people. This generation that we're seeing coming up is mixed up, confused, identity is distorted. They're way out there. They've been assigned, and God set up one for such a time as this. Charlie Kirk, he would go, if you didn't know him, he would go into the universities, and he would go to different nations, and he would combat, and he would speak truth, and he would debate against the modern lies that are from the course of the power of the air, all about the different things of identity and policy and all these different things. But at the heart of it is he wanted people to know the Lord, and he was bold about his faith. If you haven't seen his videos yet, watch him. The man was so incredibly impassioned and called for such a time as this. So what happened? He was shot. How did that happen? What happens in the midst of God's plan when these kinds of things go on? I want to just delve into this just for a couple minutes, and then we're gonna marry this into the Word. But it's interesting. His name, Charlie Kirk. The name Kirk, it actually means church. So when you look at that on a spiritual level, think of it now as the church. And he represented in his ministry the church. He represented the Word. He represented even a prophetic voice that was called, even anointing to reach the young people of this age. So you look at him and his name meaning the church. And it was interesting because he was killed in a city called Orem in Utah. And the word Orem, when you begin to research that word, it's historically derived from an Old Norse language, a language that was around at the time of the Vikings. And if you take his name, or that name, Orem, and you look at the very roots of it, it goes into Viking times to a name that it derived from, which was, I can't pronounce it, O-R-M-R, let's say Ormer. And that word meant serpent. So the very city that he was shot in, the very history of the meaning of that name came from a Viking language, and it meant serpent. And out of that name came the name of Orem, the place that he was shot. So what am I saying? I'm saying that at the hour that we're in right now, there's a battle that's going on between light and darkness, between God and even that would oppose the work of the Lord. So we see that he was giving this speech, and then he was shot, and many have seen the video or heard, and this thing has been a tragic thing. But then when you look at what happened after that, all of the areas that he was on in social media, TikTok and Facebook and all the different realms of media that are going out today, all those things began to multiply. Millions and millions of subscribers began to come on board. And people that didn't know him began to know him. People that didn't hear his message began to hear his message. So what am I saying is that unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. So that principle, when that kernel of wheat goes into the ground and it comes underneath the ground, then eventually begins to bring up and it brings forth more fruit and more seed, and that there's a multiplication, because in the midst of the battle, God is always the battle one that multiplies. He's always the one that has the victory. He's always the one that has the plan. He's always the one that's able to outshine the enemy and to make a mockery of the enemy and to use the enemy as a pawn, that his plan and purpose would go forward even in the time and the season that we're in. So we see the message that has gone on has now been multiplied. Millions and millions have subscribed. And he's got more followers now when he's in heaven than what he had on earth. And it's been going from country to country to country. He was in prestigious areas. He was in some of the finest universities in the world, debating even the lies that are the course of the power of this world. Things that are so twisted and torn, they don't even make any sense in the natural, and definitely not in the spiritual, and yet he was called for such a time as this. So I want to begin to look now into the Word of God, and I want to sort of superimpose what's going on in the day that we're living in and what just happened, and I want to look at that through the lens of Scripture, because we always need to go back to the Word. This is our final authority. We're a prophetic ministry, a prophetic church. Our founder, Dr. Russ, walks in a fivefold gifting of a prophet. He walks in a fivefold gifting as an apostle, and yet he always goes back to the Word as the final authority, so we're going to do likewise. So turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 8. And the Bible says, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison." Verse 4. Now those who were scattered went abroad preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip, when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, so that much joy was in that city. So we're seeing that a similar thing had happened. It's talking about an execution at the beginning of Acts chapter 8. And if we turn back in our Bible, we know that that was the stoning of Stephen. And we know that Stephen was stoned even by those that were walking according to the religious spirit, according to the prince of the power of the air. And we see the same parallel, because as Stephen was anointed for such a time as this, the word of God was coming forward out of his heart and out of his mind with great power. And the atmosphere, I believe, was electric in that moment. And the word of God was being even proclaimed to even the religious leaders, to the people people that were around, it was a marvelous sight. And we're going to develop that in a few minutes. But in that moment, they stoned him. They did not want to hear the truth. And we know that there was an attack on the church in that moment. And we know that it was demonic, the thing that came forward, because it came from a heart that hated the truth. It came from a heart that was afraid of the truth. It came from the demonic realm, because the demonic realm knows that when the truth of God is preached and the truth of God goes forward, there's going to be change, there's going to be fruit, there's going to be that tramples down the kingdom of the enemy. And so those that were monitored, even the words that he spoke, they picked up stones and they began to stone him. And they stoned him even to a place of death. And great persecution came. And you think, God, where are you? We just started this thing and you're shutting it down. God, this thing looks terrible. What's happening? Where is Stephen now? He was so filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He was a man of God, and now he's dead. God, where were you? Why did you let this happen? And I think there were some that were probably wondering all these different things. Why did this happen? We needed him. Who's going to replace him now? Oh my goodness, we have to leave, because great persecution hit Jerusalem. And what did they do? They left. They fled for their lives. They ran. They went. Now, if we go back in Scripture, Jesus had already prophesied. He said that you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to all the parts of the world. So what the enemy had intended for that was to destroy the church and to muzzle the church. And we're in a day now where the prince of the power of the air is attempting to muzzle the church. It is the same spirit that was going on then is what the same spirit is going on now. There's nothing new under the sun. Man, we have electronics and we have all these different things. That's all changed, but the heart of human beings, the work of the demonic and the all-surpassing power of God, it never changes. It's all the same thing, because God is a great God. He is a great God. So they began to leave Jerusalem. So the gospel would have been clustered in this small area right here. So the people in Jerusalem would have heard the gospel. They would have seen the signs and the wonders. Persecution hit, and now they moved off to Judea. And when they went, they brought the gospel with them, and they began to preach the gospel. So now we see the spreading of the gospel. And then they moved on to Samaria, and that in and of itself was a miracle, because the Jews hated the Samaritans. They were dogs. They were mixed breeds. They were half breeds in a first century Jewish mentality. But yet the power of the Holy Ghost is able to break down barriers of prejudice. It's able to break down barriers that are the color of your skin or even the gender that you are. The power of the Spirit of the Lord is to break down every barrier that would stand in the way of the plan of the Lord, so that even the gospel would go forward from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. And we see that Philip was one of the ones that he was preaching the word of God as he went. And I believe he was inspired by the stoning of Stephen. I believe he was inspired that. There's something about when a great man dies or a great woman dies for their faith in a very way that could only be the power of the Lord with them. And we're going to look into what I'm saying in that moment. But he went on and he began to preach the gospel, and he used the tools that God had given him. I believe there was nothing that was any different from Philip than what it is from Mark or any different than what it is from Rudy. I believe that we're all human beings, and they are no different than to what we are now. They were using what God had given them, and they began to preach the gospel. And when demonized people came, they commanded the spirits to leave, and they left. And when people were sick, they prayed for them, and the spirit of healing, the Holy Spirit, came upon them. You see, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit that makes this thing amazing. It's not the acts of you or the acts of me. It's the acts of a supernatural God. It's the acts of a Holy Ghost right now. now. It's an axe of one that can't be limited, that can't be held down, that can't be knocked down. It's an act of God, the axe of the Holy Ghost. And we're living in a time that is paralleling even what's going on. We're seeing waves of persecution on our free speech. We're seeing even in our nation now trying to muzzle even what we say and what we think and what we talk about. That was the same thing that they were doing even when Stephen was there. We want to muzzle you, Stephen. We don't want you talking, Stephen. We want to shut you down, Stephen. We're going to put a cork in your mouth, Stephen. But God sits back and says, oh, no, you don't. You're going to walk into my plan, and my plan is going to be multiplied. I love it when the devil makes up a plan and he sits in his sneaky little schemy, slimy planning room, and it's all slimy and dirty and icky. And that's just my interpretation. And then at the end of the day, he plans, I know we'll kill Stephen. We'll get them so enraged. We're gonna put like salt in their wounds, and then we're gonna shut them down. They'll be so afraid to say anything. We'll muzzle this thing and we'll put it down so that nothing happens as a result of this gospel any further. And God allows it. The devil to walk in and make a complete fool of himself. And the very thing that the devil wanted to prevent was the very thing that God used in order to now multiply the gospel, in order to multiply the things that are going on. Now, we've been told, even in the Transformation Center, as in many places around, that we're heading into an hour of revival. So when we see these things coming that are attacking our free speech, or we see these things coming that are putting a muzzle, or we see these things that are trying to even twist and torment our young people, guess what? God is going to use it, I believe, for that will multiply his glory, that will multiply his goodness, that will multiply his grace. He's a God that is able to think beyond all than what anybody else could think. He's a God that can outsmart the best. He's an outsmarting God. And he's a God that knows only how to have victory. I think he's very single-sided that way. Losing, no, never done that before. I believe he only knows how to have victory. That's who he is. So I want to look at that stoning of Stephen. I'm not going to go right back into the scriptures, but that there was a little bit. In Acts chapter 7, verses 54 to 56, now when they heard these things, they were enraged. So what's happening at this point? Stephen is speaking, and the Bible said that his face looked like an angel. Could you imagine? His face was so filled with the glory of the Lord. Did it look like Moses when his face shone and there was a bright light coming from it? It says it looked like an angel. And when angels appeared in the Bible, sometimes they fell down like dead men. They were blown away because it was the presence of the Lord. So I want to say that when Stephen was in the midst of this and his face was now the face that was glistening with the glory and the presence of the Lord. When you look at those scriptures, that says, and they saw it. So the people around, I believe, afterwards would have said, did you see his face? His face was shining. I've never seen anything like that. It was like a light bulb, a candle was placed in front of him. His face was glowing. There was something different about that. I know they stoned him, but man, his face was unlike a face of the scribes or the Pharisees or anybody else. This was something very different, and God is planning to bring about something very different to reach the world, because he's desiring to reach those with the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, the people listening to Stephen's message, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, now listen to this, full of the Holy Spirit, Did God leave him alone to be mercilessly stoned? No. His face was like the face of an angel. That meant he was in a whole realm in the spirit. He was in a whole different realm of the spirit. He was in a deep place in the glory of the Lord. And the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit. He was not there by himself. He was not there in his own strength. He was so filled. And when you're filled, guess what? You're filled. I can't put any more water in this thing because it is filled. There's room for no more. And at that moment, I believe there was room for no more that he could contain. It would just continue to flow out from him and around him and through the message that he was speaking, because this was a divine appointment of the Lord. It looked as though the devil was winning, but God was using it as a divine appointment. So, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. Whatever he saw so had his attention. He wasn't, okay, guys, put down the stones. I'm sorry. Okay, no, I didn't mean it. Maybe we could, go have a little something to drink. Maybe we can go have something to eat. We'll talk about this. Okay, I'll just stop for now. No, he was at a place where he was filled, and his focus wasn't on those or what was about to happen. There was something so overwhelming him at that moment that he was gazing into heaven. He was completely fixed. He was blown away in a good way. His gaze was that was fixed in heaven. Why? And saw the glory of God. Now, Moses desired to see the glory of God, and when he came off the mountain, his face shone. Do you remember that in Exodus, where his face shone, and where Moses had cried out, Lord, show, let me see your glory. And God had to hide him in the cleft of the rock and cover it that he could only see his back. The glory of the Lord was so powerful. In that moment, it wasn't Sunday afternoon in the park. There was a glory revelation. There was a glory cloud. They saw his face glistening like an angel. This was supernatural. It was God. He wasn't concerned about what was going on about his death. That thing was swallowed up to be that big. It was the glory of the Lord that consumed him, and his gaze was fixed, and he saw the glory of the Lord. And then Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He didn't stay seated. The Bible talks about seated at the right hand of the Father. Why did he get up and stand? This is my son, Stephen. I love him. I'm going to use him that this gospel will be multiplied. I'm going to use this for great glory. I'm going to be with him in the midst of this stoning. I'm going to so enrapture him with my presence. I'm going to be so with him in the midst of all this. I'm going to be with him that he's going to see me in such a deep, profound way. He's going to experience me in such a deep and profound way. And then I'm going to bless him because I'm going to promote him to glory. And he's going to come in with this triumph, even being lifted up into a whole different realm. The glory realm that was manifesting in his place, in his face, was only that was ready for him. Because as the heavens were open, there, the Bible talks about the heavens were open. There was also an open heaven. This was a big event in the realm of the spirit. He looked like an angel. He was glistening in his face. The heavens were opened up, and now Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. And the people that were around, they were witnessing all this. They were watching all this. This is not Saturday morning in the synagogue or reruns on YouTube of the synagogue. No, this is something like they hadn't seen. This is something completely different. And I want to say that there was an assignment going on right at that moment. What do you mean? Well, I mean that the Bible goes on to talk about that the people that were stoning Stephen, they had to be the witnesses, and they had all these charges and all. They twisted his message, and he was talking about the change going over from worshiping in temples to the modern day gospel. They were talking about that. They twisted it all, and they decided they were the witnesses, and according to Jewish law, the witnesses were the ones, as I understand, to stone them. So they took off their jackets, and they laid them at one that had authority. And that was a man named Saul that was sanctioning this whole thing. But the man named Saul was being set up. He saw this one, Stephen, with a face that glowed. This is not Stephen. Maybe he saw him the day before and he didn't look quite like that. There was an open heaven. He heard the vision that Stephen had. And I believe that as Stephen was preaching the word was so filled with the Spirit. The word was so penetrating. The truth was going in. It was surgically going in, separating flesh from spirit. It was going into a deep place. And Paul was there hearing the word of God. And I believe that God was prefacing Saul in order to have one of the greatest calls in the New Testament. God was using Stephen in order to preach the gospel, and Paul was hearing the gospel, and the gospel was challenging the beliefs inside of Paul. The gospel was being confrontive even to that whole religious nature, that whole religious spirit, and they were hearing the word of God going forward with great power and authority. So there was an assignment, I believe, at that moment where as Stephen was preaching the word of God and there was a divine appointment, God says, Saul, I'm targeting you. I'm going to prepare you right now. You're going to hear what's going on in his life. You're going to see the miraculous. You're going to see this is not the work of a man, because a man couldn't look like that. A man couldn't speak like that. You can't even speak like that. You're going to see a demonstration, Saul, of my power, and I'm going to download something inside of you, and I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to even be a vessel for my use, and you're going to write a good portion of the New Testament, and millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon century upon century upon century of people are going to read what you are hearing right now coming through Stephen. You're going to hear right now the gospel coming forward. You're going to get an understanding, Paul, and I'm setting you up. So God was allowing a godly seed to go into the ground. And the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. We don't mourn and relent when we plant seeds into the ground that are going to be food coming up. We're like looking forward to the harvest. So God was allowing that seed of the martyr to go into the ground because there was a harvest coming up. And there was a harvest of the gospel going forward in that nation, and there was also raising up one that would be a leader in the church, and one that would be a spokesman in the church, and the one that would author much of scripture. God was multiplying what the devil said, I'm going to use to pull you down. I'm going to use to tear you down. These circumstances are bigger than what you think. They're going to weigh you down. They're going to pull you down. They're going to knock you down. You won't survive this. And God says, get out of the way. This thing's going to multiply. Get off my foot. There you go. And I believe the Lord just stomped on the devil's head, making once again a mockery of the enemy and his plans. So when you're going through your thing, and when the enemy is trying to say it's bigger than you, it's more powerful than you, God's abandoned you, you tell him to shut up. You get into the word of God and you learn the ways of God. We learn the ways of God to see how he works in the spirit and behind the things that we are going through. Stephen wasn't stuck looking at the stoners, like a modern day. That kind of doesn't sound good, but the people who were about to stone him. You can't erase live. Let me just rewind. And Stephen wasn't looking at those that were about to throw stones and execute him. He was so encompassed by the power of the Lord. It was the greatest day of his life. And so I want to encourage you, if the enemy has tried to take your vision and put it on those that are ready to throw stones, wow, those bills are bigger than what you could ever handle. Woo, that stone's getting ready. Oh, yeah, I'm going to throw it at you. Oh, wait till that bill comes your way. I'm going to throw it right at you. Oh, your kids, oh, my goodness, they're backslidden. They're going to go the way of the world. They'll never serve God. Let me throw that stone at you. That's the work of the devil. He never changes. He never, ever changes. He never changes. He tries to get Stephen's attention off of this glory realm. Guess what? We're going to stone you. We're going to throw rocks at you. You're going to feel pain. There's no mention of pain in the scriptures. And I don't know if he felt pain or not. There's a whole mention that the glory cloud was on him. The heavens were open. The realm of the glory was on him like an angel. Jesus was standing. He had this whole all-surpassing place in the spirit. There was no mention of anything else. I believe he was consumed to the point at the end where his biggest concern at the end wasn't, oh my goodness, I hope this isn't going to hurt. His biggest concern, and this is not the work of a man. It's not normal in terms of human understanding, but in godly understanding, his place was a place of intercession, saying, God, please don't let this be held against them. He was more compassionate on them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not the work of a man. And so what I'm saying is the time that we are living in, don't stop preaching the gospel. There are divine appointments, I believe, that are coming your way, and I want to say preach the gospel. Sometimes it can be in three words. Sometimes it can be in 15 minutes. I remember one time I sold a MacBook, bought a MacBook, and that this guy was a Muslim, and him and I began to engage, and for the next 15 minutes began to share the gospel, and I was there to buy a MacBook, and he sat and listened. There are hungry people out there because sin doesn't satisfy you. Sin leaves you feeling empty. It has a way of robbing you. It steals life from you. It makes you feel empty and alone. It makes you feel at a place where I've got to get more, and it brings in a place of addiction. It doesn't bring in a point of lasting satisfaction. So I want to say, as God sets up divine appointments, step out. Step out. Step out in different ways. He'll do different things at different times. A week and a half ago, I left the church, and there was a police car. It was at night, and there was a police car on King Street. And I just had this desire welling up inside of me to more or less go and to thank them about, you know, what they do. And I, you know, did one of these, went downstairs, didn't follow the desire. This is where I was at, okay. And I just felt convicted. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I went back, and I went up to the police car, and there was a lady that was inside the police car. And at first, like, you know, I'm like waiting. It's nighttime. Who is this guy? And then she's looking at me. You could see, you know, like, should I open the door? And then she began to roll down the window a little bit. And I explained who I am. And I think I was, you know, pastor of the church here. And we run the food bank and so forth. So what's that saying? It's saying I'm a Christian. You know what I mean? What's that saying is I'm a believer. So what's that saying? I'm coming from this vantage point right here. And I began to mention all the different things that began to roll out of me, things that police would feel, and ways that they've been attacked through media, and all these different things. And she sat there going like this, and nodding her head, and nodding her head, and nodding her head. But I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage her. And then I began to thank her for what she does. And I said, when I came around the corner, I was relieved to see you there. And I looked and her face shone, not like an angel, but with a smile. Her face had a happy glow upon it. There are different ways to minister the gospel. Did I give her the four spiritual laws like the Muslim guy? No, I didn't. But that's what the Lord had at that moment. One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. And I don't know, maybe she has a relative that's a Christian, and maybe they preach the gospel until she's heard it and heard it and heard it. Now he's bringing along a Christian that's demonstrating the gospel. We don't know God's plan. As we see here, he's able to do things that we don't see or understand. Just do it. I'm going to pass things over to Pastor Patty. We're going to tag team a little bit today. Let's give her a hand as she comes up.
I just have something real short. Real short. Oh, hallelujah. As we have been inundated with what's been happening in the media. Anybody been watching what's been going on these last number of days? I've been challenged in three ways. One, I've been challenged to speak the truth boldly. Have you been challenged? I've been challenged to speak the truth boldly. We saw someone take a bullet for speaking the truth. And the Lord is speaking that to us as the church. He's speaking that to our generation. The second thing I was challenged to do by Charlie Kirk's life was to have a heart for the next generation. Did you see those young people up here? Wasn't that incredible? And they spoke something very profound through the song that they did at the beginning. Two of them were on the phone, and the other ones were reading the Bible. I'm telling you, we could probably turn the numbers on that one. How many of you were convicted by that? How often is the Holy Spirit trying to get our attention to listen to him, and we're on our phones? I was so convicted. I'm raising both hands, but I got a microphone. And I was convicted by Charlie Kirk's life because he had a heart for the next generation. Now, it started when he was 18, and he would go on the college campuses to speak truth. But it continued, and God used him as a big brother to speak truth. And he began to see what was happening culturally. God rose him up in eagle eyes, and he could see, look at what's happening to our young people on the campuses. Look what's happening to their values, to their morals, to their worldview. And he began to go and speak what? Truth. And you know, it's incredible what God is doing in the hearts and lives of young people right now. I've been looking, and just even at the end of the month in August, out west in Canada, there were 7,000 people gathered, or 6,000 people gathered to a worship event where Rodney Howard Brown was, and it got organized in a month. The whole population of the town was like 7,500. And there was a prophecy over that place. They call it the altar, actually. But they had a worship gathering, you know, a couple of years, and then COVID. It was just like once a year. We're not talking about nightly or anything. But what I'm saying is, there was tons of people coming from all over our nation and this generation to do what? To worship. I want to tell you, I think the enemy, he is so inundate us with the state of our nation that we become very discouraged. But one thing about Charlie Kirk's life, he had such a heart for this generation that he would speak truth. I want you to tell you, don't give up on our young people. We were looking up, I was talking to one of the young people last night, and we were talking about Generation Z and what years, when they were born, and then there, you know, there's Generation Alpha. And I said, and what's the next one? Because we got two that are being born in this church pretty soon. Do you know what the next one's called? Anybody? I had to Google it. Generation Beta. They're the ones that are being born. Did you guys know that? Do you know what generation you are? Just wondering. You're Z, yeah, you're Gen Z. Do you guys know what generation you are? Carl? Z, that's right. A little bit younger. If you're 12 and younger, Generation Alpha. And you, Elizabeth, this one that's coming right now, pretty soon, Generation Beta. I'm telling you, if we have the heart of God, we're going to want to speak truth to our generation. And they're going to hear it. They're going to hear it from different ages. But I'm telling you, young people, you guys need to be a voice of truth to your generation. But first of all, you got to get a revelation of the truth. We got to get a revelation of the truth. And so these are the things that the Holy Spirit has been just speaking to me, that we have to speak up. We have to have a heart for this generation. And this generation, we have to have a heart for them to encounter God, not just know about him. You know, Charlie Kirk encountered God when he was in grade 5. He had an experience with the Lord, and Jesus became his Savior. And then as he, you know, when he was 18, when he graduated, then the Lord had spoken to him to have a gap year and not to go to college. And as an 18-year-old, he founded a nonprofit, which now has 1,000 employees. Don't discount this generation. Don't discount what God can do through them. Don't discount them because of their youth. Maybe they haven't fully encountered God yet. Well, you need to be praying for them. You need to be fasting for them. You need to be teaching them. You need to be training them. You need to be discipling them. And I just want to read one scripture in closing. This is the scripture, and Charlie Kirk would reference this scripture, Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read from verses, starting in verse 4. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive." Do you feel like that sometimes when you're in Canada? This is not a completely free society, if you have not noticed. Not even our internet, not even our speech. And one of the things that is highlighted is that, of course, in Western civilization, we're supposed to value freedom of speech. Socialism doesn't value freedom of speech. We as Christians, do we value freedom of speech? We better, because we need to speak the truth. We need to speak the gospel. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished." My husband was just talking about multiplication. One of the words over the house is that God is going to give us many sons and daughters. That's a prophetic word over the Transformation Center. That's one of the words. I was reading them over this morning. And for many of you, you've gotten those prophetic words. I just want to encourage you, get them out, type them out. I'm going to show you my prophetic words. This is my notebook of prophetic words. And many of the words over this house is that there will be sons and daughters of the nations. And the Lord is saying that we have got to get a heart for this generation and generations and for the nations. Not that they would just know about God and come into a building for 2 hours a week. That they would know God. That he would transform them, that they would be empowered and changed and know the truth that would set them free, so that we could be raising up a bunch of Charlie Kirks or whatever name. Put a name in there, whoever God is raising up. God is raising up. He's raising up you. He's raising up me. And we need to have a heart for this generation. Pastor Charlene was here all day yesterday with those young people. All day. And they left, I think it was like 9:30. And around, I thought, okay, we'll probably see him back, you know, 11:30. We're into the afternoon. I got a call. I'm like, are you guys okay? Yeah, we're still practicing. I said, you're still practicing. And they said, and then they said, oh, well, by the way, at 7 a.m., they're going to pick us up because we're going to church early tomorrow. And guess what? We're going to practice. And I thought, wow, she's serious. I said, wow, she's hardcore, isn't she? She's a basketball coach, by the way. I said, wow, she's hardcore. She's really getting those young people to practice. And the Lord said, yes. What are you going to challenge the next generation to do? What are you going to challenge them? Are you going to challenge them with the word of the Lord? Are you going to challenge them to read their Bible? Are you going to challenge them to spend time in his presence? Are you going to challenge them to fast? Are you going to challenge them? And the Lord was speaking to me about how we need to challenge this next generation. Sons and daughters, in this city, it says, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. And in another version, it says, in its prosperity, you will have prosperity. And you heard Dr. Russ say that we have a call. We have a covenant with Hamilton. We have a covenant with Hamilton. God has prophesied over us. He has put us here. I want you to know that you are called, or wherever you may be from, wherever your city is, you are called for such a time as this. And you say, well, how could God use my voice? What can I do? I'm telling you, we just need to be bold. We need to know the truth, and we need to speak the truth. But we also need to have a living dialogue with the Lord of truth. He wants to speak to you, but he wants to speak through you to someone else. I want to ask you this morning, I'm going to ask you to just stand up on your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask my husband just to come up as well. We want to pray over you. We want to bless you this morning. We're here to celebrate, but we can't celebrate without issuing a challenge. Because, you know, you're here in this room today, in this church body, because somebody laid down their life. Now, not physically like Charlie Kirk, but somebody laid down their life to do something they didn't want to do. I remember when Dr. Russ and Pastor May planted this church in 2005, and they moved from the nice farm out in the suburbs down into the inner city, right beside the church. Why did they do that? Because they heard God, and God said, do it. I want to tell you, God is calling us to be a people where our mission is more important than our comfort. And I'm preaching to myself. Where our mission, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, is more important than my comfort. Oh, just bow your heads before the Lord this morning. Lord, we come here to celebrate what you've done over 20 years. But Lord, we're looking in great expectation for what you're doing in the next. Lord, we know this is a season where you are calling us. You're calling us closer. Lord, you're calling us to put down our phones. You're calling us to come into your presence. You're calling us to come into real relationship with you. You're calling us to be world changers. And you're calling us closer. Father, we're asking right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, for you to just come upon your people today as we are gathered in this place this morning. Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we've been distracted. Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we've been cold-hearted. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, Lord, where we haven't loved our neighbor. Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we haven't spoken out for truth or for the unborn or for other things that have been across our hearts, or Lord, where we haven't shared the gospel. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. And Lord, we're asking you to forgive us where we've been silent at times where we should have spoken. Lord, we're asking you, God, on behalf of the Church of Canada. Lord, we're praying for our nation. God, we're asking that you would come. Lord, we're praying for this generation, Lord, Generation Z and Alpha and even the ones coming, oh God. Oh Lord, that you would have mercy upon this nation. And Lord, that you would have mercy even upon our city of Hamilton. Oh God, we're crying out that you would have mercy. That you would have mercy on our families, oh God. And Lord, we're thanking you. We're thanking you for this family, God. We're thanking you for the families that you brought into this place. Lord, we're thanking you for the husbands and the moms and the wives, the children, the daughters, the sons. Lord, even everyone that is in this place today, oh God, we are thanking you because you have a plan of purpose and a plan of redemption, a plan of hope, a plan of liberty. And Father, we're releasing a blessing over them. We're releasing a blessing. We're releasing a blessing. Oh, Koshikiyarabaka.
Well, Father, I just pray, Lord, we just pray a blessing now, Father. Even, Lord, in the spirit, a father, a mother's blessing. Just open up your heart right now. Many of you have been cursed and not blessed. We're going to bless you today. Father, we're declaring, Father, the blessing of the Lord to be upon this one here today. Father, the blessing of the Lord to be upon their womb. The blessing of the Lord to be upon their families. Father, the favor of the Lord to be imparted, Father, in a great and in a wonderful way. Father, I pray that you'd give them favor in terms of revelation of who you are, favor in terms of, Father, right decisions, favor in terms, Father, of right people coming into their lives, favor in terms of doors that are destructive being shut, and favor in terms of doors that are abundant being opened. Father, we're declaring the blessing of the Lord that brings abundance to be upon this one that's here today. And if you're in this place and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can just pray a simple prayer like this and just pray it underneath your breath. If you want to know Jesus and you want to start a relationship with him, you want to be saved, you want to be born again and brought into the kingdom of his Son, knowing that you have eternal life with him, pray something like this. Heavenly Father, I repent for the sin that's in my life. I thank you that Jesus died for my sin. He rose again on the third day. He lived a sinless life. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. And I receive it right now. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and into my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I just want you to come up to Pastor Patty, myself, Pastor Anne-Marie, Pastor Charlene, one of us, and let us know what you've done. Because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So you need to tell somebody. So come and let us know afterwards, and we'll connect with you.
And the last thing, I just hear the Lord saying this. If it's your heart, and you're saying, you know what? I want to be a voice in my generation. If that's your heart, just lift your heart up to the Lord right now. Just put your hand on your heart. Lord, you see our hearts this morning. Lord, we want to be a voice for our generation. We want to be a voice of truth for you. And so, Father, I'm asking that you would do something so pivotal in our hearts and in our lives this morning. Father, I'm asking, oh God, that you would cause us to be that which we would have that sword of truth in our hearts and in our hands, oh God, and that we would be those shining lights for you. Lord, make us a voice of truth to our generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.